How much should I give? That's kind of the basic question we all are asked to ask of ourselves during a stewardship campaign. It's one that we wrestle with. Even last week's sermon about seeing our giving as a way to grow closer to God doesn't make that question an easy one to answer. Oftentimes we aren't confident that we're giving enough. And so we kind of do some things because of that lack of confidence. Sometimes we might try to get a glimpse of what the person next to us puts in. I know some of you have done that. Maybe not everybody, but I know some of you have, and I will admit to being guilty of that at different times in my lives, trying to sneak a peek as the person puts their wad of cash in, trying to take note of how many bills might be there, trying to get a glimpse and hoping that somehow their offering envelope will flip right side up, because we all put it upside down because we don't want anybody to see what we're giving. And sometimes it is a matter of humility if people are extremely generous, but let's face it, for many of us, we really don't want people to know how much we are giving. And sometimes I think that's a result of not always being confident that we're giving enough. Some folks give large amounts of money, but most of us, I believe, are wondering, are we giving enough? And of course, one answer as to whether we're giving enough that's been used in the church in different times and in different places is holding up the idea of a tithe, of giving 10%. Now, I'm going to have to say to you this morning that some of you may already be cringing because this is the second sermon in a row on money, and let's face it, one sermon a year on money is more than enough for most of us. But I'm going to soften the blow, because I don't believe you have to tithe. I said that one time from the pulpit, and after services, a person came up to me, one of my parishioners, and said, "Pastor, you've been here for 2 years, and that's the first thing you said that I've agreed with." Now, before you label me as either the best pastor ever for having said that or as a heretic, because you could go either way, I want to clarify more about what I mean. And when I say that I don't believe you have to tithe, I'm not saying that it's not a principle that is present in the Bible. What I mean is that I don't believe a tithe is always the right answer to the question of how much is enough. One problem of tithing is that even in Scripture, it's not a simple concept. I mean, doing the multiplication is simple. But in some places, a tithe was something that was offered once every 3 years from the harvest that one attained. For the Pharisees, there's evidence that they didn't tithe yearly on their income. They tithed on their net worth. Could you imagine me trying to preach that from the pulpit on a Sunday morning? Not just once on their net worth, yearly they tithed on their net worth, not their income. Now, the idea of tithing does hold some merit, because it was originally a way, not just in the Jewish faith for the Israelites, but across the ancient world, it was a way that you paid homage to a king. It was a way that you represented the fact, showed a king that you were under their sovereignty. And so our giving, in light of the fact that the earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, all that we have, ourselves, our times, our talent, our money, comes from God and is God's. A tithe is not an inappropriate response. It is a way we can say to God, "God, I am yours. You are my king. You are my Lord." That's the purpose that often served in ancient times. But I think strict adherence to a tithing is if somehow, if you're tithing, you're giving enough, and if you're not tithing, you're not giving enough, falls short in many ways. First of all, in the Scripture, we are called upon to give sacrificially. That passage that we read this morning, I chose that for a reason, and I gave some of the context, had Joe read a little background. I actually wrote a whole paper, 20, 25 pages, whatever it was, when I was working on my doctoral work, on that passage, and I discovered some ancient things, because oftentimes in our modern context, when we think of Paul going to the church at Corinth and saying, "Let's help out these poor Christians in Jerusalem," we think of him going to folks of moderate to maybe more than moderate means. and saying, here are people less fortunate than you. Give out of what you have. Give out of what you really don't need. You know, that extra meal down at, you know, at Joe's Seafood Shack or wherever you want to go. You don't need to do that. Give to help these poor Christians. But what I discovered is that most of Christians, most of the ancient world, and especially true in the church, were poor. And it's very likely what Paul was doing there was he was going to poor people living from hand to mouth and asking them to give out of what they had to people who were even poorer, to truly make a sacrifice so that others might have what they need. We also see this kind of idea of giving being sacrificial in the widow's mite. We are told that she put in her last two, what we would call pennies, not out of her wealth, but she gave out of her poverty. She gave everything she had. Now, I shouldn't say it's easy to give out of our wealth, because what's the old saying with money? You never have enough, right? No matter how much you have, there's always something else you could do with it, something else you want, some other luxury, a third, a fourth home, another car, a vacation. Who knows what we can do. Most of us don't have that problem of deciding whether to buy a third or fourth home, but there are those who do. But we can give out of our abundance relatively easily. Even if we think, well, I'm going to give an extra $20 every week because we're going to go out to eat one less time, that's still giving out of our abundance. George was a parishioner in one of my churches, and they found a way to represent giving that I thought was kind of interesting. They would skip a meal every week, right? Not just not go out to eat, not eat, and the money they would have spent on a meal, they gave to the local mission. Making a sacrifice, not just with their finances, but making a personal sacrifice. That's represented throughout Scripture, how our giving, how our service, how our very walk with Jesus is to involve sacrifice. And sometimes, for some, a tithe is not really a sacrifice. We are called upon to give generously in our passage this morning as well. And that's a harder concept. Well, you guys are any of you wondering when I just said sometimes tithe is not a sacrifice? Did anybody catch that? Or you weren't paying that close attention? Right? I expected somebody to at least look cross-eyed at me and say, what do you mean a tithe is not a sacrifice? That's where I'm going to. One of the ways to think about giving generously, to make it an act of generosity, is to stop thinking in terms of dollar and cents and to think of our giving in terms of proportional giving. And I don't mean proportional as a percentage. I mean proportional in the light of what we hear Jesus say, to whom much is given, much will be required. While tithing seems proportional, I'm not sure it always is, because what can seem generous and even sacrificial for one person might not be sacrificial and generous for another. Tithing for some could be their financial ruin, and for others it might be barely a blimp on their financial ledger. Tithing for a mother of three working at your fast food joint or at Dollar General or any place else that pays minimum wage or barely above minimum, 10% could mean their children going hungry. Or someone who is making six figures or more, who has a ton of responsibility, who is making more money than many of us might ever be able to imagine or ask, for them, they could give 20% and have it not affect their lifestyle at all. That's one of the problems I have with using tithing as a hard and fast rule, because it's not always sacrificial, and it's not always generous. I shared the story last week of John Wesley, who was upset because one time he had done something for himself, bought pictures on the wall. A woman came to his door who was dressed in a thin coat. It was winter, and he reached into his pocket to give her money to buy a coat, and he didn't have it because he had just spent what he had left for that week on pictures for his wall. And he swore he was never going to be in that position again. And so that next year he made 30 pounds and lived on 28. And when he made 60, he lived on 28. When he made 90, he lived on 28. Now it's easy to think of John Wesley as being a long time ago and far, far away. But there's a modern-day equivalent. R.G. Letourneau was a businessman. He developed engineering and earth-moving equipment. R.G. Letourneau, at one point, became one of the wealthiest men in the world. During World War II, it's estimated that over 70% of, or almost of 70% of the equipment Allied forces used in earth-moving and engineering was equipment he invented, designed, and sold. And yet R.G. Letourneau, when he started out giving 10%. And as his business started to grow, as his wealth started to grow, he started to give 20%. And then he found he could give 30%. And he found he could give 40%, 50%, 60%. And he didn't stop there. He got to the point where, at a point in his life, a time in his life, R.G. Letourneau was giving away 90% of what he earned and living on 10. Tithing isn't always the answer to how much someone should give. Tithing can make someone feel guilty about making a huge sacrifice for them, and it can make someone feel good about their giving when maybe they shouldn't feel so good about it. I struggled with that concept when I first came across it and started to think about it, but then I even saw that in the Bible, God made provisions. People under the law were required to bring either a calf or a lamb for sacrifice. But if they couldn't afford a calf or a lamb, they were allowed to bring two doves, something they could afford. So if tithing is not always the right answer to how much is enough, you may be wondering what is. Now, you've probably heard me say this before, but I was taught it was rude to ask or to answer a question that wasn't asked. And so I need someone to ask me how much is enough. Well, you're asking the wrong question. And I say that because sometimes when we ask the question, the real question we might be asking, and this is something we can only decide for ourselves, but I know I've been guilty of this even at times, when we ask how much is enough, what I'm real asking is how little can I give and have it still be okay? Or for others, it might be, how much can I afford to give and still have it be okay? We have been asked this week to consider our giving, and some of you in your prayers might have heard God say back to you, you know what, you're doing fine. Sure, you could give a little more. You might even be able to get away with giving a little less. But I trust you, and I'm going to leave it up to you as to how much you give. Sometimes when we ask, instead of getting the answer we want, we, like the rich young ruler, hear that maybe we need to step it up. Maybe what we are giving indicates that we really are too attached to our money and to our material things. And sometimes the idea of giving more can scare us to death, especially when we have debts that might be building up, when we have bills that might not always be paid, when we have children that need things and need college and medical bills coming down the road. None of what I say about money, none of the sermons the past 2 weeks, not even our stewardship campaign, is intended to make you feel guilty into giving more or to force you into making a decision that you're not ready to make. Paul tells us in our passage this morning that we shouldn't give under compulsion because God loves a cheerful giver. God wants us to give, and you know what? God understands where we are. And for some of you, you might be where you are giving all you feel you can give this year and next. Some of you might be sensing that you're called to give a little bit more, but just aren't sure that you have the faith to do that right now. You're not even sure if it's a smart thing to do in terms of caring for your family and of your other obligations. I love stewardship campaigns because it's a chance for God to do something amazing, but it's also a chance for us to listen to God. And if you are struggling with taking a step of faith forward, maybe you're even struggling with turning in a commitment card at all, that's okay. Because you may not be comfortable with it now, but God continues to come and continues to speak. God comes to us now, maybe next week, the week after, the month after, the year after. And so this is simply an opportunity for us to listen to God, to respond to the best that our faith will allow us to respond, and to understand whether we hear right what God is calling us to give or not is okay. Because God is with us, and He will take what we do give. He will take what we are able to sacrifice and use it for the good of His kingdom and for the good of those in our community and around the world. Thanks be to God for this opportunity we have. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.